Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, new season, the podcast about self-development, health, and spirituality. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to do this spontaneously. It's really cool. We started to speak on Instagram just as a random, we chatted and we thought, okay, let's just call. And then I said, let's just do the podcast right away because it was already super interesting for me and I hope for the listeners too.
So yeah, I love when that happens. And it was a good idea actually, because we would have had that conversation.
Exactly.
Maybe not again. So
exactly. Yeah. So it sounds more organic and natural right now. It's hopefully it's going to sound like that. So Cheryl, you are the founder of the Conscious Lab and a yoga teacher. Would you like to say more about this?
Oh gosh, so many things. We are so many things. I think at some point you are so many things and then you realize actually I don't think of any of them and I actually don't know. I got to this age and I still don't know what I am.
Yeah, that's exactly the conversation that brought us to do the podcast, right? So it's exactly this needing to fit in a box and we put ourselves into this box.
Yeah,
so it's okay, you don't have to say anything else about it.
Yeah, no, but I'll give it a stab. I mean, yoga teacher, yes, for sure. I've been teaching yoga for a very, very long time, and certainly a box that's very, very difficult to climb out of. There's so many labels and so many it's such a clear picture when people say exactly a role. Oh, a yoga teacher. Okay, they immediately have an idea of who you are. But of course, my main job is I started a company, a business called The Conscious Lab like 2 years ago at the start of the pandemic. Yes, it's online yoga and meditation and everything around consciousness. And that's basically what I spend most of my time doing. And it's building a brand. It's a building a brand. So you can also say that I'm an entrepreneur of some ilk. Yoga teacher, I was a coach for many years. I still do some coaching. And yeah, that's pretty much the realm that I've been operating in for pretty much my entire career. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also experienced your classes when you were teaching in Basel a couple times, I think, right?
Yeah. like lifetime ago, but yes.
You are currently based in Munich.
Yes.
And you come from South Africa.
Yes. Like so many people. No, not at all. Not a lot of people doing that. But yeah, Munich is now my home and yeah, for about 10 years now.
10 years, wow. And you're learning German, I saw. And you know
I'm
German.
I'm trying to learn German, yes.
Yeah, it's funny to follow your journey on Instagram. Yeah, because I'm also in German class until Saturday, so it's fun. Or not, it's not, it's hard.
It's German or German? I mean, because it's
German.
Okay, German. Okay, because you can't really learn Swiss German from what I understand.
So it's really fascinating, actually, because all the teachers in the school are from Germany. And they really insist that Swiss people do mistakes, in grammatical mistakes. And I think most of the teachers, are from Germany. And
it must be very popular there.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yes.
Because they have this kind of, not hatred, but this kind of like, the Swiss make mistakes, you know.
we are the real Germans. Yes.
It's funny. It's really funny. Anyway. But yeah, so what we started to talk about was the fact that, so you've been, because I shared the fact that I'm coaching right now and you were coaching a lot. And that you fell into burnout Would you like to share that journey?
Yeah, and I would say that I'm still in it, and I'm somebody like most people who burn out say, oh, I don't burn out. That's ridiculous. That's not me. You have it wrong. I'm healthy. I'm fine. I just need this and this and this to work out. And then I'll be, you know, then I'll feel better. And it was at the beginning of the year that I realized, okay, I can no longer tell myself any more stories. I'm really tired, but more than tired, it wasn't the kind of tired that I would go to sleep and feel better. It wasn't the type of tired that I would do a yoga class and feel better or eat better and feel better. It was kind of like an energetic burnout. It came when I was doing specific things related to my work. And yes, of course, starting a business, having a startup is emotionally very taxing. You have to, it's not that you get tired of working hard. That's not my thing. I got tired of constantly having to believe in yourself. That's a different kind of exhaustion. And then on top of that, I noticed that holding space for people in an intimate setting was really having a very weird effect on me.
Share the effect?
Yeah, it's I'll try and articulate it. It might be the first time that I'm expressing it in this way, so bear with me. It was almost like I would drop into a deep apathy. Like people were telling me their deep stories and they really care about their stories, of course. And some of them are really requiring a lot of compassion from me. And I would just feel absolutely nothing. I mean, that's not good, right? And yet I was still so good at holding space. I'm so good at listening. I'm so good at asking the questions. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was affecting my work. If anything, I was getting more people. People were still getting the results. And I was thinking, I am not enjoying this. I feel exhausted afterwards. I feel like I have to lie down for 2 hours, but it wasn't it was almost like a hunger, a starvation for not food, not more yoga, not more meditation. It was so bizarre. Yeah, that was kind of my experience. Now, try and explain that to people that their dream is to become a yoga teacher. Their dream is to become a coach. They can't wait to give up their job to follow this wonderfully rewarding career. Yeah, so I did get a lot of sympathy for that.
So it's great actually for people listening who want to do this, these things. Yeah, what do you want to... It's great you share your story, and I will also share a couple things about it. Yeah, what do you want to tell them?
People that want to follow this, I used to say it when I was teaching teacher training, take care of your own practice, take care of your own resource, take care of your own inspiration, take care of filling yourself up, understand boundaries, boundaries. We also live in this very weird profession where your friendships can merge into clients. You get friendly with your clients, then you're friends with people that are paying you, and then it becomes very weird. And then you end up working a lot but not getting paid for it because the client wants to have a coffee, but actually end up coaching them. And I mean, you're nodding your head because you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
And then you get to the end of the day and say, okay, I got paid for 1 hour, but I worked for 4 hours because I was taking care of those people and all this kind of invisible labor. And I think that's something that we just don't get taught in trainings, coaching trainings, teacher trainings. Our job looks like we just have a lot of fun and, you know.
And I think we do, but it is true, this thing you say about, like, I love all the clients. I want to hang out with them after, you know? And because I feel so much compassion for their stories, and I'm like, oh, I'm going through the same shit, you know? And then I want this connection. But Yeah, and when I used to teach, it was the same thing. It was then if your friends are coming to class, are they paying or not? And it's very tricky.
Very tricky. And also, as much as you like them, there's still, I notice, some holding back on my side, because there's part of you that still knows they're your client. And so you can't actually unleash your full personality on your clients. They would, I say to people, like, if you had to really get to know me outside of this context, we probably wouldn't be friends. Because your unleashed personality is only digestible for your close friends that love you no matter what, you know? And so even though you like them, I find that there's still a part of you that's holding back, which means it's an unbalanced friendship, which means it's not a real friendship, which means you're giving energy in that time that you're together.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think a lot of people think the yoga teacher is this special person, and they want the attention of this person, and they want, I see it with Kristen, if you listen to this, and I know you will. People want time with her. I see it, you know, how the way they interact, and she's very open and very giving, and I see them. Yeah, they look for her attention, you know. They come in and they're like, when she starts talking to them, they're so happy, and she knows exactly what to say also, because she's good at this and she likes people. And yeah, it's super interesting to see. Yeah, I'm sure you experienced
that. No, absolutely. And they're projecting a whole bunch of stuff onto you also. And if you're good at it, it creates this very powerful dynamic, which in the right context can be extremely healing, but it has to have like a beginning and an end. And so now I'm very, very clear post all of this work that I've done now. I really have friends and clients, and it's very few that will still, you know, be on that edge. I still have some because it's a long history. But any new people that I bring on, definitely clear.
Yeah. And so what kind of work did you do to make this clear?
Well, I went to Sri Lanka for 4 weeks. And I really allowed myself, probably the first time, I would say potentially in my whole life, that where I just lived. I didn't work, think about work, plan, strategy, nothing. I didn't do a single thing except experience what it's like to eat and live. I didn't even read much. I really just wanted to feel what it was like to be a human being without caring for someone else, caring what someone else thought of me, trying to be liked, trying to help, nothing. I just allowed myself to be. It was actually much more difficult than it sounds.
I know.
Yeah, right. Like, as a human being, you've got nothing to do. How are you in the world? I did some really hardcore work with watching my mind for those 4 weeks, and what came out was the internal dialogue, my motivations behind certain things. And I realized, I mean, this is pretty hardcore, and probably why I got into the work that I did, is that we all want to be liked. We all want to be liked. We all want to be accepted. And I just know, I've learned that because I'm very good at watching people, I'm very good at seeing what's below the surface, I'm very good at asking the questions, that if I can use those skills, I can get people to like me. I can also get people to pay me for that. But the problem is and that's where the boundary came. I didn't know when I was doing it to be liked by someone, creating weird dynamics in friendships, codependent relationships, and when I was doing it for work. And those were totally blurred. And I was like, oh, okay, stop doing it in your personal relationships. Hey, hang on. I'm just going to stop doing it for work as well. And that's why you and I are having this conversation now. I basically dialed down. I don't actually really teach private yoga or coach anymore. And that was a huge, huge step for me, because it's basically what I've built my career on up until now.
That's huge. That's huge. I think when you become that aware of yourself, to become that aware of, yeah, what everything you do, basically, right? We all do things for a certain reason, like you said, and me too. You know, when at teacher training, they were always asking this: why do you teach yoga? And you know, my answer was always like, yeah, because you know it's healthy and it's good for people. And no, actually, also I wanted to be cool. I think that's what, because yeah, I found it very cool.
I have so much respect for you for saying that. I would love to also go into those trainings and say, seriously, know the reason. Really know the reason exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I heard a lot was, I just love it so much and I want to share and I want to help others. And I'm like, yeah, you don't know yourself yet. Like I didn't also. And like, yeah, you probably didn't. Yeah, but you know, we still did it, which is fine. Good. But then at some point you're going to hit a wall and you're going to think, why am I doing this? Certainly not for the money.
Exactly. Well, it's hard to make money. I don't know. Like,
oh, it's so hard to make money. Yeah, and Instagram and social media and is really, really doing damage in that sphere, because it shows that 0.04% of people that have made a success, and they just don't show the stories of those that struggle to make a living.
Yeah,
trying to teach yoga. It's brutal. Yeah, it's brutal.
I remember having so many keys on my keyring, you know, and I was in so many WhatsApp groups because for subs, you know, and I would cycle. I mean, Basel is not big, right? But I would cycle from studio to studio, and or I was teaching in so many different places, like from the dodgy community center, you know. To the super
weird corporate lunchtime
with carpet on the floor, you know, like where you had to move tables.
Yeah,
you too.
Of course, yes, yes, yes.
I think it's super important too, because I know some people who are in training right now or who are still looking up to this or who have that career as an option in their head. And it's great, and you have to do it, you know, to know what it's like. Because I also thought, it must be so cool to be a yoga teacher because you must have so much time. No.
And then you do the math, you know, you look at all the people in the yoga class and you think, oh, okay. I mean, if I made that in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, except what about the rest of the hours in the day?
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful for the community or the industry or whatever you want to call it to look at the path of a yoga teacher as the path of an actress trying to make it, or an actor trying to make it in Hollywood. You know, it's that kind of life. Like, you've got to love it so much, so much, that you are willing to have no money, work very, very hard, to be tired a lot, to be in very weird situations, teaching all kinds of strange things and people and what have you. And I think it isn't shown as, I have this wonderful life. I wake up in the morning, I do my mindful practice, I do thing, I then go teach one yoga class.
Yeah. You know,
and I have my soy latte and da-da, and I manage to pay my bills. I love my life. Hashtag whatever, you know.
I love how true this podcast is. It's so cool. Yeah, and it's great. Yeah, that's, I think, to share that. And so I came to a point, like, for you it was burnout, for me it was back pain. I had so much back pain, I couldn't practice anymore, I couldn't do any kind of movement anymore. I was not even walking straight. Like, I couldn't straighten up. I was bent slightly forward. Moving to Germany, at some point I will go more into details with this story, but moving to Germany really was what really was le coup de grâce. Now that you've been to France for a few days, now you know.
Yeah, what I can say, I knew what that means. It sounds fantastic. Please tell me what it is.
It's like the thing that really like makes you fertig, you know, like the it's over.
Okay.
And it's like you know, when you lift something up and you just, how is it called in English? You feel like a sharp pain in your back and then you cannot do anything anymore.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Yeah. That's a powerful message.
Yeah, that was moving to Germany. Never again. But before that, I already had back problems. And so I couldn't even teach yin anymore. You know, I couldn't teach with props, with bolsters. I couldn't demonstrate. It was not possible. And then after a year, I was having pain. I was still teaching because it's normal also, right? So we all taught with pain, I guess. And then at some time I was like, okay, I'm really going to stop and move. And that got me out of this, you know, of this, of wanting to teach and make a career out of it. But since I've been wanting to do this for a decade, I didn't know what to do anymore. You know, I was like, fuck, if I cannot teach yoga, I have to find another dream.
Yeah, right? I mean, yoga is the dream. That's the whole thing. Yoga is the dream.
Exactly.
And then you're like, oh, no, not for me. And there are so many people thinking that this is such, yeah, it's really, really tricky. So I can relate to that. Yeah.
And that's why I was starting to do all these things like podcasting. I was just trying to figure things out, basically. And I also did a bit of stand up, which you asked me about. And when we chatted off podcast before, you were starting to tell me that you're going towards creativity right now and self expression.
Yes.
Please say more.
When you say it like that, it already makes me nervous, which is good because then I know that there's fire behind that. I think what happened was I was so sold on this idea that yoga and healing and spirituality and coaching and all of that kind of stuff was the ultimate expression of my, what I had to offer, my passion. And like you, after your back, you're like, but why do I not feel like I'm, you know, for you it was pain, for me it's like I don't feel like it's the thing. It's not the thing. You know, everyone's told me this is the thing. And
so funny.
And, right? And then what I was trying to do, I think, was express myself through yoga teaching and coaching, and then you get the social media outlet a little bit. And it wasn't, so I thought I was expressing who I was, but actually when I sat down and really thought about it, I thought, hang on a second, my creativity, my art, which I don't know what that is yet, is it's not here, it's not in yoga, it's not in healing, it's not in teaching, it's not in coaching. Holy shit. You know, I have no desire to be an artist, you know? Yeah.
Same. When did you realize that? During the burnout?
Very recently. It's been part of the process. Yeah. So the burnout was one thing. I came back. So when I came back from Sri Lanka, and really it's only June now, only been back for a couple of months, but I stopped teaching one-on-one. I still teach publicly, because I find energetically that's still enough for me. I still get, you know, I don't get tired publicly. There's something energetic, and that's a whole nother discussion. But
yeah, but would be interesting also. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think you have a sense of what I mean. And then of course, because I'm also building a business that's very creative for me. So I could do that. But then very, very recently, it was after I was sitting with a coach, because I finally got, shocker, my own coach after all this time coaching other people. I'm like, oh, maybe I need one myself. And she made me do the Enneagram test. I don't know if you've done any Enneagram. Yeah, I had that expression on my face also. I was like,
Maybe I just don't know names.
Okay. So anyway, it's this whole thing, and I did the test, and it was horrible to see my personality laid out so specifically as if it was like me. It was horrible. And it's not that flattering. Okay. It's not. I was reading it? And I was like, oh my God.
What is it?
So there are 9 different types, and I'm a 4, which is intense creative.
Yeah.
Which means basically I need everyone to know every single feeling that I have on any circumstance, any moment of any time of the day. And if you don't understand, I'm going to get very, very upset. That's horrible.
Hence the stories.
Yes. Exactly. And basically it outlines the kind of, you know, way of an artist. And, you know, and yes, I've always loved writing. I love comedy. I love film. I love books. I love reading. There are all these things. But it was kind of like at the initiation of this coach and reading this thing and starting to work with my person and say, hang on, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just kind of like this, you know? And so what if I worked with my personality? Of course, the conversation went in the following way. Cheryl, this is your personality. And I was like, I don't do personality. I transcend personality. Like, I don't have an identity. I'm trying to transcend my identity, you know? And do you know what she said to me? Do you know what she said to me? She's a very wise lady. She said, Cheryl, you don't even know your identity. You cannot transcend it yet. I was like, what? Me?
I did already.
I did it at 43. I did that like when I was 30 after teacher training.
On Bali or somewhere.
Exactly.
Love it. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so that's kind of initiated the whole thing. And since I allowed myself, I was like, what if I express myself mm-hmm. outside of yoga?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? And that's where I'm at now. And I'm terrified. I am so fucking scared.
Mm.
I don't know what it's going to be. I just know that something is coming out. And that's why I was like, hey. So what about that stand-up, you know, like how's it going for you?
It's horrible. Yeah, and I sent you I sent you fear got in the way.
Yes. Yes. What happened to your stand-up? Fear. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, just so you know, it's not I think that's another world. And if you want to watch on Netflix a French series called Drôle. And that's the life of stand-up comedians when they start. It's really yes. cool. It's really yes. cute, and it's amazing.
Okay.
And I cool. think I know a few stand-up comedians here in Switzerland, and they are starting to, you know, make it. And mm-hmm. and I guess it's really close to reality, this series.
Cool. Oh, I'm so in. Thank you for that.
And I think for stand-up and for everything, I would recommend that to everybody, but you need to do a lot of therapy.
Oh my, yeah. I mean, but this is it, you know, I kind of feel yeah. like I have to just accept that I have a lot of stuff going on inside. And if I don't express it, I think A, it's going to make me sick.
Yeah,
B, it's going to totally. Destroy my relationships and make people around me nuts.
Totally.
So it's almost like even if it's not a success or if I don't make it or it's fine, because yeah. for me at this point, it feels like I just have to. And that's yeah. a very different place yeah. than I've ever been before, I think.
Yeah. You would be sick if you would not express those things.
I'm pretty sure. I think that's part of the reason why I did get sick, very tired, and also from a relationship perspective, I just mental health, physical health, it just feels like a need and less of a career path, and that's different.
Yeah, and I totally hear you, because I also feel that creativity and self-expression is part of health, like just like we practice movement or whatever. I wrote about that probably at the start of COVID. I started to write a book that I'm now editing. Actually, this cool. part, no, it will be in this first book, yeah. In this first book, because I'm planning to write a second and a third one. But so it's all about, so there's going to be a big health chapter, and it's, and I include self-expression and creativity in it. And
yeah, amazing.
As an example, do you know, did you watch the series Shadows and Bones on Netflix?
No. Great. I'm so glad I've got another one to watch now.
I read all the books. I find it really good. Maybe it's a little bit more for teenagers, but it doesn't matter. And well, I hope I'm not spoiling too much, but when the main character doesn't use her power, and she has a huge power that can save humanity, you know, as usual, and she didn't mm-hmm. know she had it, or she was suppressing it. Yeah, I won't spoil. And then she was, you know, skinny and not super healthy. And then once she starts using her power and expressing it into the world, she gets healthy, you know, more like stronger. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to really believe that. And you know, it's so funny because it was part of my coaching program, play. And I was coaching all these other people and their creativity and really conceptually fully behind it.
Yeah.
It was hidden to me because I thought the dream of teaching yoga and coaching and all that was the expression. And I just didn't for a second think, hang on, that isn't it for me. Yeah. So I fully am with you behind that. It's like creativity and expression is not something at the end of your to-do list when you have nothing else to do and you don't have a job and, you know, being you like to paint pictures. It's really part of us. It has to be part of us.
Yeah. I believe that too. And maybe, you know, healing is necessary too, but creativity, I feel, is almost equally necessary right now.
Part of it.
Yeah. It's part of it. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Totally. And so you said before the difference between class teaching and one-on-one. How do you feel that difference?
The best I can explain is a kind of an energy distribution. When you're one-on-one, you are holding all of that energy yourself. And I feel in a group, it's somehow dispersed. It's like the group helps carry the energy. Mm-hmm. And then you might even get some, you know, like that's how it feels when it's one-on-one. And I believe that's right. When you're holding someone in your attention and holding someone in your care and your awareness, you are holding that for them. And that's what makes you good. And I just feel you're in a crowd, the more people, it's dispersed. And then you might even, like I say, walk out with having gotten some if you're lucky. And that's a great feeling. Yeah. So, I think that's the best explanation I can come up with.
I can relate simply the difference between packed classes and classes where you have like 3-4 people. Yeah. It's a huge difference.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And that's because you're putting a lot into it. I know a lot of people can be one-on-one and it's a mutual exchange. They're sharing their stuff. It's like a friend hanging out, doing a bit of stretching and yoga. And that's fine. That's great. Mm-hmm. I am simply incapable of not taking the whole thing. And I just can't. I accept it.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear about these things because I don't, yeah, I don't think I've heard it before. I've heard anybody say these things as honestly and.
Yeah, thank you. And it's wonderful to be able to speak about them and be heard and not judged or misunderstood. So I really appreciate the space, actually, because it's almost a taboo to say, because yoga, everyone, you know, I love my job as a yoga teacher, and I ask people that teach 18, 20 yoga classes a week, I'm like, how do you do that? And the best explanation I think I've heard up until now is I'm an extreme extrovert and I get energy from people. And I was like, okay, I buy that, because I'm not. I'm sort of half-half, you know.
Me too.
So fine, if that's there, great. I think that's the best explanation I could come up, heard.
Yeah. And do you feel like the pandemic has changed this side of you, like the fact that you were or are half-half, or did it make you more introvert, or did it change anything?
That's interesting. No, I think I was pretty much the same before and after. You know, I think other aspects have changed. I value my connections much more now, and I think I'm much more clear about who I'm close with. And somehow, and this is what I've noticed, as you bump into people, right, after you haven't seen them in a long time, the yoga center, where you're like, oh, wow, I have noticed I'm much, much more tolerant and much less judgmental. It might just be because I'm old and I've really been through something. I'm still, like, really judgy, but, you know, way, way less. And I feel that's nice. I'm much more like, okay, softer, I think. So that's changed. But in terms of extrovert, introvert, I still love being with certain people. I still love being alone. I need both. Some can be too much on either end. So no, but I have heard people say they're having some different experiences.
Yeah. I feel like in my childhood, I was an introvert, more shy, and raised by my grandparents. Yeah, like chilled, you know, like playing board games and stuff like that. And then I think I became an extrovert because I was traveling, and then you have to, and it was fine. And then I was, you know, yeah, teaching yoga or organizing those two yoga festivals also. And constantly, I know so many people in town, you know, from the yoga time and these events, like organizing workshops, also trying to find a location, a partner. So I was doing yoga and gin, yoga and chocolate, yoga and wine, whatever. Yeah, I'm sure you would have liked that.
Absolutely.
Then during the pandemic, I think I became more of an introvert, and I think I have days now where it's okay to meet people, and I don't decide which days, you know, it's really my body decides.
Yeah.
By putting me to bed in the afternoon, like crazy things. But that could also come, I realized, from being on one-on-one with clients. I've had in the last couple of weeks headaches and diarrhea, even like after seeing clients, or even before when I tuned into the client and prepared the space, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah
to do something about that.
Do you do it at home?
So the cranio, yes, and the coaching either online or in my office. So
okay,
it depends, but the cranio, it was both cranio, so touching the person.
Yeah, I found that was something also very interesting. I don't know if it's relevant for you, but I stopped bringing people into my home for healing, anything, coaching, yoga. I just stopped that. And if I did, I would do it on walking outside or online, because what I realized is that people are leaving stuff in your house, not intentionally. It's they're there to leave something. Of course they need to leave something, but then you're getting on with your life.
Yeah.
In that, And since I made my home like just for my friends and family, and you know, it makes a big difference. I mean, I think there are rituals that you can do with sage, and
I did, but it didn't help.
For me, it didn't help exactly.
It was crazy. It was last night, the
I
second
believe
one.
You. I'm really sorry, and I totally understand that. Yeah, and it's good that you make that connection, though. I didn't even get the connection.
Did you have physical pain as well? Or you just had that?
Yeah, that's it. So my body manifests weird. Like, I have this ridiculously resilient body and digestive system, and really I'm so blessed in that way, but I feel it energetically, emotionally, and I can just collapse like sleep. I can just get emotionally very, very unsettled, and it's almost like an energetic.
I figured it out on the weekend, actually, and I talked to a therapist friend on the weekend, and she was like, oh yeah, that's a pretty common thing. I was like, what, how come they don't tell us that in the
they don't tell you that, not in that training, not in the teacher training. Energetically there is such strong stuff going on, and you're taking it, and where are you directing it, putting it, cleaning it? You've got to do something with it, and you just like internalize it and then let it go. And
I'm a channel. Great. And so this, actually noticing this, you know, I was like, if I don't find a solution for that, am I gonna continue this, you know?
It'd be like the yoga thing for you, if you don't, you know.
Interesting. Maybe the yoga thing was also related.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you.
I'm pleasure. You have to express yourself more. Create.
Let's just drop everything.
Write that book.
that's definitely, I realized that's the only thing I actually care about. And funny enough, so about fear, because there is this thing called resistance. Did you read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield? So if you want to go towards all this creative world, War of Art, it's fascinating.
Oh, it sounds like exactly what I need to read.
Everybody who wants to write or do anything creative should know that, because there is such fear or resistance. He calls it resistance. And it's, or he actually says anything that has to do with improving yourself in a way or expanding. Even if you want to start a fitness training, you know, to get abs or lose weight or whatever, that's going to require discipline and elevation in some form. You're going to face resistance. Your body doesn't want to do that, you know?
Incredible. External, internal.
Sometimes when I have the whole day to write, I'm going to feel sick, and I'm going to feel like, oh, I think I have COVID. It's just the resistance, you know, it's just really the body shutting down, and I have to lie down. I really cannot. Sometimes I'm like, come on now, get over it. And and I know by now, I really know what it is.
And then do you give into it, or do you push through it, or?
It depends what days. And sometimes I'm just like, okay, just sit down at your computer and just write or edit, you know. Editing is brutal.
And I will tell you this, on the, because I wrote a book and I self-published it, and I still, to this day, have such a complicated relationship with that book. When people come up to me and say they read your book, I want to run out the room. I'm like, hey, thanks, goodbye. I don't want to hear about it. I want to talk about it, think about it, look at it. There's so much shame in that, and yeah, it's crazy, because that's the other thing. People think, oh, well, you must be so proud. I'm like, I've only...
Well, at least it's amazing you published it, but yeah,
I hear you. I did it myself, and are you going to publish it? Are you going to get a publisher?
I'm going to try, and then...
Yeah, please do. I think it gives you so much when you have someone else, even if it takes longer, just someone else to say, and yes, we should believe in ourselves, and yes, we should love our children, like metaphorically speaking, well, probably also like in real life, but I know some people don't all the time, but I think it's just really validating if there's someone else that says, you know what, this is not a piece of shit.
Yeah,
I think I would always recommend that to people now.
Yeah, recognition, definitely. And this is one of the reasons. I have a great writing coach. I'm in a writing group since January, and it helps a lot.
Wow. And is it in person or online?
It's online, but they're all in Zurich. So I've met a couple of people a few weeks ago, and I'm going to meet the coach in person in a couple of weeks. So it helps.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Great.
Yeah. Really grateful for their support. Yeah. It helps a lot. And then the coach knows all about publishing and all the fears and all the reasons why you write a book, and what's right as like the reasons behind you wanting to become a yoga teacher. And it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, that's also, you're inspiring me so much on this call. I'm so happy that we had this.
Me too. You're inspiring me too. And it's great to talk about these things. Yeah.
Yeah. And so honestly, I really, really appreciate that. It's not an easy space to navigate. Kind of giving secrets away. Huh?
Yeah. But I think it makes it more relatable for people, you know, if they also go through the same things.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I'm not going to say everything, you know, I'm not going to talk about my sex life, although might happen if I get into relationship coaching, maybe.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, call me up. I'm happy to talk about that too. I mean, not your sex life, but yeah. But I think there is some point that we started making when we were having our little private Instagram chat, and maybe this is something that's a little bit more, because I feel a bit kind of like pointing out the realities and the hardship. And I think what's cool about what we unearthed when we were speaking is that a lot of people are drawn to yoga and healing, but what they really want to do is sing, perform, dance, act. And yes, art has the power to heal and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like if you just look at the yoga world, especially in Jivamukti, right? Because Jivamukti gives you so many touch points. You can, you know, unleash your anger about like the injustices of the world and animal rights. You can sing, you know, for half an hour in a Jivamukti yoga class, and no one's going to say anything because it's part of the 14 points. So you can sing. You can talk because there's a Dharma talk. I think there's so much creativity that comes out. And I think the only thing I would want to say is, yes, teach yoga, sure, but are you sure that you're not really just wanting to be an actress?
Or a performer of some sort, or
a dancer or whatever. Yeah. And maybe both, but don't try and push and squeeze all of that creativity and energy into teaching yoga, because ultimately yoga is very pure, and yoga is really about healing and holding space for someone else. And yes, sometimes your creative expression is going to touch someone for sure. But yeah, I don't know the answer yet, but I think it's worthwhile just saying, hey, this is happening. And is that happening for you is a good question.
I think it's really interesting. And I wonder, because yes, we were texting about you can't make yoga funny. And I was saying, yes, you can. And it's not make fun of. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But how can I say that? I was, and I know your teaching style also, you always make jokes also in your Dharma talk, or you always in your Instagram stories, you also always say something funny. So you are already actually using it like that, not taking it too serious.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's very much what I'm trying to do. So I'm so relieved to hear you say that come across. Yeah, it does come across, because that's exactly, I'm trying to say, hey, this stuff is deep, but we're also human and we can also just laugh. And I think I've always appreciated that about you as well. And I think that's why we've always connected in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard people say, yeah, you were making jokes, or before I even just thought, oh, I'm going to try stand-up comedy. And I was like, really? Yeah, it was so funny. And okay. Yeah. So I guess I was also trying to, I was not aware of it, but now it's really one of my goals to do spiritual comedy, like I wrote you.
Cool.
And I don't know how to do it, and that's why I haven't done it yet, because it's still probably too serious, you know. I mean, I do laugh, we do laugh a lot in coaching sessions. Actually, I also make that fun, because it does not, healing doesn't have to be super serious. I mean, yes, it does, you know, but you can also have some humor.
Well, I mean, for me, it's the deepest spiritual, not the deepest, okay, but it's a deep spiritual practice, because a joke means you have unidentified, which means that there's a part of you that can observe, which is the whole part of yoga, is to not identify with egos. So the fact that you can laugh at yourself, meaning laughing at ego, that's a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And if you're so deep in it and you're so serious, but it's a tricky fine line, because of course, if you're on a deep ayahuasca trip, of course, no one's like, I don't know, I haven't taken ayahuasca yet.
Yeah. I'm just afraid of the puking and the diarrhea.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's totally, that's great. Could even be the last word.
Cool. Cool. And
is there something you want to add?
No, it's just wonderful to have this conversation. I felt the need somehow to connect with what you're doing. And so it's just great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you too, Cheryl. Pleasure. Oh, and thank you all for listening.